time to do the job. Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber.
What's up, everybody? This is the Edmonton area's own D-Job, Danimal Daniel Jobber, self-proclaimed Duke of the Cruiserweights, here with you again, coming to you with another edition of Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber, 205 Live and WWE Cruiserweight Report on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. In sports this week, your Edmonton Eskimos are 5-0 and alone in first place in the Canadian Football League. What an amazing start for the Eskimos. This weekend, they outlasted the BC Lions for a huge victory to stay undefeated. In the WWE, since my last report, WWE Battleground was held, and it was regarded as one of the worst pay-per-views in years. However, it had some positive results for Canadians, and particularly Albertans. Quebec's Kevin Owens recaptured the United States Championship from AJ Styles, and Alberta's Jinder Mahal retained the WWE Championship against Randy Orton in a Punjabi prison match. Finally, Natalya Neidhart became the number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship, earning the right to face Naomi at SummerSlam. On Raw, the biggest story of the past few weeks was the revelation of Kurt Angle's big secret. They revealed that Jason Jordan was his illegitimate son, and Jordan was consequently brought onto the Raw roster. It was also decided, after Braun Strowman interrupted the Roman Reigns vs. Samoa Joe number one contenders match, that the main event of SummerSlam would be a fatal four-way between Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, and Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship. Bayley also defeated Sasha Banks to earn the right to face Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam. Finally, the WWE is building a mini Shield reunion of sorts, as Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose have been forming an abrasive love-hate tag team duo, which looks to be headed towards a high-profile match for SummerSlam, perhaps even a tag team title match. On SmackDown Live, AJ Styles reclaimed the United States Championship right back from Kevin Owens, as Shane McMahon made a triple threat match between AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and the surprise-returning Chris Jericho. For the most part, however, the WWE has received negative reviews these past few weeks and has been considered to be poor wrestling programming. There's even been a trending hashtag, Fire Road Dog, referring to firing Road Dog Brian James for his poor quality writing these past weeks. The Cruiserweight division has also been somewhat lackluster since the title match at Great Balls of Fire, and its future is starting to come into question. Before this, however, we'll have a word from my pal, Doc Sherlock. Hello there. I am Doc Sherlock. I have a knack for stating the obvious. I am not really a doctor. I recently entered a contest for a Canadian internet hotel company. I did not win. I am often completely unable to poop, so I created No Shit Sherlock. It is a laxative.
No Shit Sherlock.
No Shit Sherlock brand laxative. When the poop ain't coming, don't be bumming. To state the obvious, No Shit Sherlock is the way you go. When the poop ain't coming, don't be bumming. To state the obvious, No Shit Sherlock is the way you go. No Shit Sherlock is not a real brand of laxative.
No Shit Sherlock.
My pal Doc Sherlock, everybody. And now to our Cruiserweight action. First off, on main event, the week before last, Lince Dorado faced TJP. This is a pretty good match, with TJP using his technical agility style and Lince Dorado doing a number of high-flying handspring moves that we've come to expect from him. They did a good job of teasing a Dorado victory several times, but in the end, TJP picks Dorado off the top turnbuckle on his shoulders, hits his detonation kick, and gets the victory. On Raw, they recapped the previous week's action between Akira Tozawa and Neville. In a backstage segment, Titus O'Neil reminded Akira Tozawa that the previous week he pinned the champion Neville. He then reminded him that the following night on 205 Live, Neville folded Tozawa up like origami. Followed then by everyone enjoying a brief moment of, awkward! Origami is Japanese paper folding.
No Shit Sherlock.
Then we had Gentleman Jack Gallagher and Mustafa Ali versus the Brian Kendrick and Drew Gulak in a meaningless tag team match just designed to combine the two ongoing rivalries into a single match on Raw. This was a rather quick match that ended shortly after Ali was tagged in and hit an inverted 450 splash on the Brian Kendrick. For the most part, this match seemed more like a quick time filler than anything else. Then a bit later on, Akira Tozawa took on Arya Divari, who dedicated the match to some Iranian or Olympic champion or another, as he's been doing lately. Akira Tozawa sold a badly injured shoulder he apparently sustained when Neville folded him up like origami on 205 Live last week, as Titus O'Neil so elegantly put it earlier. Anyways, this match did not go Tozawa's way, as his shoulder injury seemed to bother him more and more, and after a short time, Titus O'Neil jumped up on the apron and told the referee to stop the match, as his client Akira Tozawa needs to quit the match. Tozawa was extremely upset about Titus doing this, and he yelled at him that he doesn't care about him and the fact that he never quits, and says he is done, whatever that meant, as he exited the stage. Then on 205 Live last week, the show mostly revolved around resolving the Cruiserweight Crusade storyline between Drew Gulak and Mustafa Ali, with the 2-out-of-3 falls match that dominated much of the show. This was a pretty good match and a solid way to end a rivalry. Mustafa Ali scored a quick early fall over Gulak with a rollover leverage pin after a chain wrestling series with two previous leverage pin attempts. Essentially, this was Ali beating Gulak at his own game. The second fall was a really good back-and-forth segment. At one point, it looked like Mustafa Ali had been pushed too far and might come back to complete the rout over Gulak. However, Gulak persevered and put a dragon sleeper on Ali, forcing Ali to tap out to even the match at one fall apiece. The third fall was particularly amazing, and what made this the best Cruiserweight match in the past 2 weeks. This was a back-and-forth action match with a bunch of near falls. They did a pretty good job of making you wonder who was going to win the match. Finally, Drew Gulak got frustrated and desperate and attempted to do a top turnbuckle move, but as per usual, he sold his rubbery legs and unsurety on the top turnbuckle, and Mustafa Ali got up, sent Gulak hard off the top turnbuckle, and hit his inverted 450 splash for the victory. Of all the Cruiserweight matches in the past 2 weeks, this is the one you should go back and check out for yourself. After this, they recapped the Raw Titus O'Neil Akira Tozawa incident, showing footage of Tozawa demanding a rematch against Daivari on 205 Live, and showing an internet segment between Apollo Crews and Akira Tozawa. Apollo Crews acted as a friend, trying to convince Tozawa of how much Titus cares for them, and tells Tozawa to be careful in his match against Daivari. Then they had a squash match between the Brian Kendrick and Devin Bennett, who is from Manchester, England, like Jack Gallagher. Before the match, the Brian Kendrick did an interview promo with Bennett, attempting to make fun of Jack Gallagher and England, and trying to get him to walk away from the match. Bennett refused to walk away, and so Kendrick beat him convincingly, and forced him to tap out to the captain's hook. Then they had a segment interview with TJP, in which TJP said that his friendship with Rich Swann had always had a competitive edge, and that Swann hated losing to him. He says that he does feel guilty for upstaging Swann, however, and says he plans to make it up to him by setting up a tag team match between the two of them next week, each with a partner of their own choosing. This match was to be on 205 Live. Then we have Akira Tozawa versus Arya Daivari. Daivari started off with a promo praising Iran and Iranian wrestling history, and dedicated his victory to the first ever Iranian gold medalist. Then Tozawa came out with his shoulder bandages. This is not a bad match, with Tozawa spending most of the match trying to look as good as he could while selling his badly injured shoulder, and Arya Daivari selling his working over the injured shoulder. They do a decent job of trying to make the match look like an underdog match with the odds stacked against him struggling for victory. In the end, Tozawa got the victory, winning with a sudden roll-up pinfall. After the match, Daivari attacked Tozawa and threw him into the ring post and then the barricade and stood over Tozawa, staring coldly, and then left the ring looking pretty pleased with himself as the show ended. Now this week, for the first time in a long time, there was no Cruiserweight match on main event, leading more wonder as to what direction the WWE is going with the Cruiserweight division heading into SummerSlam. Anyways, due to this, we go straight to Monday Night Raw. Wow, what a drama segment we had on Raw this week. They started off recapping the previous week's incidents involving Akira Tozawa and interviewing him like he's about to face Arya Daivari again, a match that he apparently requested to get revenge on Daivari for attacking him after the match last week. However, Titus O'Neil comes along and says that he's concerned for Tozawa's shoulder health and says that he had the match cancelled. Tozawa freaks out on Titus at this point, saying that he's going to the ring and heads there with his entrance while Tozawa follows him to calm him down. In the ring, as Titus is trying to get Tozawa to back down, Tozawa pushes Titus away roughly, and Titus is pretty taken back. Titus leaves the ring, and Tozawa proceeds to call Daivari out to the ring to face him. At this point, however, Neville comes out instead, reminding Tozawa of how he said trusting Titus O'Neil was a bad idea, which has gotten him nowhere. In the ring, Neville referred to Tozawa as pathetic, and a shell of the man he used to be. And that's when the fight begins. Tozawa hits Neville and takes him down to the mat with a vicious enziguri. He then goes up to the top rope and hits him with a senton bomb. At this point, Arya Daivari comes out and attacks Tozawa from behind and hits him with a hammerlock lariat. Daivari then picks up Neville and hits him with a hammerlock lariat as well. The segment ends with Daivari's music playing and him gloating over his victorious sneak attack. That was all for the Cruiserweight action on Raw this week, but before the end of the show, they announced that Arya Daivari will face Neville on 205 Live, presumably so Neville can get revenge on him. And finally to this week's 205 Live. Before the show, they have an interview promo segment with Neville, recapping the events with Arya Daivari. Neville talks about how Daivari committed a critical error and reminds everyone that 205 Live is his kingdom forever. The show starts off with the Daivari vs. Neville match, and out comes Akira Tozawa in a suit favoring his shoulder to join the commentary team. Daivari comes out first, cutting a promo against Akira Tozawa and Neville, saying that he is the only one worthy of a Cruiserweight Championship shot, and dedicating his victory to yet another Iranian Olympic champion. Then we have Arya Daivari vs. Neville, with Akira Tozawa on commentary. So anyway, after about 5 minutes into the match, it looks like Neville might actually catch Daivari, who's been running away the whole time, but instead Daivari catches Neville with a vicious leg as he's trying to get through the ropes back into the ring. Daivari then throws Neville into the barricade and then into a second barricade and then shoulder first into the ring post to get the match actually going. Daivari throws Neville into the ring, hits a splash from the top turnbuckle, and gets a two count. After that, though, Neville takes over. However, after working over Daivari for only a minute or two, Neville drags Daivari over to the announce table and slams his head into the table while staring at Tozawa behind it. Then Tozawa stands up, and Neville and Tozawa stare each other down. However, Daivari gets up and takes the opportunity to push Neville into Tozawa, knocking both down. He then runs and slides into the ring, and the ref counts out Neville. Daivari gets a count-out victory over the Cruiserweight champion. Daivari gets the heck out of the ring quickly while Neville stares on in disbelief. Tozawa then takes off his coat and attempts to challenge Neville in the ring, but the refs break it up before anything can happen. One has to wonder how Arya Daivari figures into the rivalry. Could they be setting up a triple threat for SummerSlam involving Daivari? Then they quickly recap the 2 out of 3 falls match for Mustafa Ali over Drew Gulak, presumably just to get their names and footage on TV and to kill some time. Then the Brian Kendrick comes out and talks about how he tries to help the fans understand the difference between fighters like him and clowns like Jack Gallagher. Says, "I'm not sure if you people are ignoring me or if you're too ignorant to understand me." He calls the fans simple and says they need to see pictures to help them understand. Kendrick then proceeds to show a picture of Jack Gallagher and essentially turns him into a clown before their eyes, pretending it is the way Jack Gallagher actually looks. He then tells the fans that this is their fighter. At this point, Jack Gallagher's music hits and he comes out. Jack Gallagher says that he's tried to turn the other cheek, but apparently taking the high road with him is just not going to work. He says, "Why don't we try this? I'm just going to knock your bloody head off." And then the fight begins? No, 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 no. Instead, the Brian Kendrick ducks out of the ring, jumps over the barricade, and proceeds to back out of the arena, yelling at the fans and Gallagher that he's a fighter, as he proceeds to do nothing that remotely resembles fighting. The two stare each other down as Kendrick backs out of the fight opportunity, and the segment ends. Then they have a pre-match segment where Rich Swann and his chosen partner, Cedric Alexander, talk about each other for a minute, and then are interrupted by TJP and his chosen partner, Tony Nese. The two teams exchange some humorous, friendly pre-match trash talk, and then TJP and Nese head to the ring. And we have TJP and Tony Nese versus Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander. This is a fun enough match for a 205 Live main event. It wasn't amazing, but there were a few good spots. My favorite was the synchronized over-the-top rope suicide dive from Swann and Alexander. Late in the match, after a hot tag to Rich Swann, the match started heating up. After he tagged back in Alexander, it looked like Swann and Alexander were on their way to victory, as Alexander went to the top turnbuckle, hit TJP with an attack, but Tony Nese comes up from behind and knocks him down, and TJP rolls him over for a surprising heel victory. The heels celebrate, and TJP stares at Rich Swann at a fun, poking fashion as the show ends. So it looks like the friendly rivalry storyline continues to heat up. So that was it for the Cruiserweight action these past few weeks. Things have felt a little bland with the Cruiserweight division since the title match at Great Balls of Fire. It's hard to tell what direction the WWE is going with the Cruiserweight division. It seems like they're using less active roster members on TV each week, perhaps as a budget control method. So anyways, with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Once again, I'm the Edmonton area's own D-Job, Danimal Daniel Jobber, self-proclaimed Duke of the Cruiserweights, and you've been listening to Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber, 205 Live and WWE Cruiserweight Report on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Daniel Jobber, capital D, capital J, and on Instagram at Danimal Daniel Jobber, all lowercase letters. Of course, there's also my YouTube channel under Daniel Jobber, and I hope you'll go to my website, danimaldanieljobber.ca, and check out my Cruiserweight Power Rankings and all my other fun stuff. Of course, I also hope you'll check out the other Edmonton SPN action. For instance, Mike the Ref's own The Blown Call and his shorter podcast known as Quick Calls, and of course, CWC Evolution for great local Edmonton wrestling action. And also the Sound of Struggle podcast featuring Chris Parrish and Maniac. Be sure to follow the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network at Edmonton SPN, capital E, capital S, capital P, capital N. And make sure you follow Mike the Ref on Instagram at MikeTheRefEDM, all lowercase letters. Of course, if you love us, and I know you will, I hope you'll go to my website, danimaldanieljobber.ca, or to whatamaneuver.net/Edmonton-SPN, and pick up official Edmonton SPN merchandise, including my own Jobber Champion merchandise. Comes in various colors and sizes, including special designs for women and children, and baby onesies for the little jobber in your life. Anyways, thanks for listening again this week, and we look forward to talking to you again next time. Jobber out! Did I mention that No Shit Sherlock is not a real brand of laxative?
No shit, Sherlock!
Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber.